you love movies and movie discussions, you've come to the right place. Who am I, you ask? I am the Wiz, and I'm here today with...
Zero.
Zero, how you doing today?
A little tired, but thankfully not as beat as a little while ago.
Oh, man. That's good. That's good. Okay, so we are here to review the 1988 sci-fi horror film John Carpenter's They Live, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper and Keith David, directed, of course, by John Carpenter. Zero. This became a cult favorite as time went on. I don't think it did very well in the box office. It got a cult following as time went on. But I think the one thing that people will probably gravitate towards if they don't hear about this movie is that it stars a professional wrestler. Zero, I guess the question I have for you is, who is your favorite professional wrestler? It doesn't matter what your favorite professional wrestler is. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say, sorry. I don't watch the Squared Circle very much. So, okay. So yeah, I don't really have one in particular.
Okay, so is there a professional wrestler that has done films that you think does a good job in those films?
I think The Rock's okay in most of the roles he plays.
Yeah. You know, with The Rock, he's become incredibly disappointing as time goes on.
Yeah.
I remember him in the Attitude Era, where he would be so charismatic and so funny. And when I heard he was getting the films, I was like, that could work. And he just became so damn safe, so boring. But I actually like Dave Bautista a lot when he acts. Like, he actually goes places in his roles. I want to watch Knock at the Cabin, which is an M. Night Shyamalan movie that he did. So, like, even when he's done the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, he's good in those movies. So I think, as an actor, I think he is probably my favorite wrestler turned actor. Favorite professional wrestler, however, it's probably Bret Hart. But I also know Bret Hart can't act worth a lick, so... Well, now, hold on. When there was a Simpsons episode... Was that actually Bret Hart, or was that somebody pretending to be Bret Hart?
I don't honestly know.
Okay. Because if it was actually him, then it's like, okay, he's actually funnier than I realized. But I honestly don't know either. All right, so let's get into the review of the 1988 sci-fi horror film John Carpenter's They Live, directed by, of course, John Carpenter. I understand why this is a cult film, or why there is a following for this film. I came off of this pretty mixed, and I'm gonna end up slightly recommending it, but I have a few issues I have with it that I will go over as we get into it, probably more in the spoiler section. But what about your thoughts?
It was kind of fun, especially as sort of a critique of commercialism. And consumerism being the overarching message. But to talk more into that gets into spoilers. But yeah, I mean, I kind of thought it was an interesting sci-fi movie that also doubled as a critique of society and politics of the time.
It is a very blatant critique on commercialism, and I would also say to a certain extent capitalism. This is such a naked critical movie about consumerism and capitalism that it just came off like someone hammering it to your skull almost. So let's get into the specifics real quick. Performances. They're okay. Roddy Piper is not bad. I think he's good in the movie. I think for an action movie, he is pretty good. Other than that, I don't think any of the performances are bad. I just think that for what the movie is, they're good enough.
There's some humorous moments with Roddy Piper. Some humorous moments with, like, Keith David, but nothing supremely outstanding that just kind of, like, wows you over. I mean, it's like you said, they do a serviceable job, but it's not anything that's gonna completely wow you over or just utterly surprise you.
Now, Roddy Piper, when he wrestles, he's more of a bombastic or maybe like more unhinged when he's a wrestler and he does a shtick. In this movie, he is very not that way. He is much more subdued. And it hurts when he does the taglines, like, I am here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. It's like, it just came off as forced a little bit, or kind of lame to me.
Yeah, that line in particular was so forced, and it just didn't come off as, like, authentically humorous. But there was one scene that kind of gets into spoiler territory in the grocery store. I thought that one was just completely hilarious.
Yes, that was a good scene. I actually agree with that one. Writing. Let's get into writing real quick then. Again, like, it wears the theme on its sleeve. Literally, it's all out there. So there's no subtext to the movie. On the one hand, I appreciate that. But on the other hand, if you're really going to criticize something, maybe get more in depth to it. But I don't know if this was the right movie to do that.
I think that the writing could have been a little bit better with the subtlety. Because, I mean, I don't mind social commentary movies, but they have to be, in my opinion, a little bit more clever with kind of showing the point. Whereas this one, the moment that the big revelation happens, it's almost like the movie sort of whacks you in the skull with a baseball bat and says, here's the point. This is going to be the focus. This is what we're making social commentary. Deal with it.
Yeah, there is a creative way to do it, and I kind of like what they did, but you're right. It is just way too on the nose. Now, if you're not used to these types of films, I can see somebody like watching this and being not only entertained, but surprised by how thoughtful it is. But that's only if you're not used to these types of films. If you are used to these types of films, I can see how we would feel and be like, yeah, it's fine, but it's way too on the nose. Like, way too on the nose. Like, literally what happens is when he puts on the shades and it says, obey, consume, watch TV. I'm like, okay, really? On one hand, I understand why they did it that way, but on the other hand, something has to become more subtle. If there's something is not subtle in some way, like say if the dialogue's not subtle, or something in the plot is a little more subtle, I think that could have worked a lot better. But in this one, I just kept watching going, yeah, sure. I mean, that's how it's always been. What's your point? Direction. I'm kind of surprised by a few things about this movie. One, how not gory at all this movie is. I mean, you're talking about aliens who look like humans with no skin. And of course, it's obfuscated by the black and white shades. But then when the violence starts picking up, like the blood and everything, that's obfuscated as well. When we both watched this on Peacock, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you kind of shocked when you got the descriptors on the top that said graphic violence? And I was like, oh, wow. I thought this wasn't supposed to be so graphic. And then when you watch it, I went, it's not graphic at all.
Yeah. When I saw the warning, I was just like, okay, movie from the 80s. Okay, graphic violence from the 80s. The first example I can think of is RoboCop, when just the Ed 209 just goes completely wrong and just shoots one of the shareholders. And I was just like, so that was what I was expecting in They Live when I saw the little graphic violence warning. And yeah, just it was quite tame in comparison. I was just like, wow, that's actually kind of tame.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching this and going, this is nothing. Like, this is not graphic at all. The other thing that I was kind of surprised by is how the fight scenes, well, the fight scene, I should say, kind of sucked. The one between Keith David and Rowdy Piper.
Yep.
Rowdy Piper's entire profession is fake fighting. How did that not look better? And I don't think that's Keith David's fault. And I don't necessarily think it's Rowdy Piper's fault either. I just think it wasn't staged that well. So when that fight scene happened, I'm like, this looks like shit. Like, this doesn't look good at all. And it went on for a little too long. Well, not even a little too long. That was like a 3 or 4 minute fight scene, right?
Yeah, that one was a bit disappointing for me as well. Because with me, I quite like just good fight choreography. And I was just like, wow, just you've got a wrestler on board. And this just looks bad.
Yeah. But that's the thing that shocked me, really. It's like, you have Roddy Piper, who I watched wrestling in the 80s and in the early 90s when he was a wrestler. He's a good wrestler. He knows what to do. But you have this guy who's really talented in this, and you don't do more with it. I do like how in some scenes he uses wrestling moves out of nowhere. I thought that was kind of funny. But other than that, like, the fight scenes are not that great. What about the shooting scenes? Because this is more of a gun movie, I would say. What did you think of like the shooting and everything?
It was okay.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
This is not going to be like a crazy all-out action movie like Die Hard, but it's nowhere even close to like just a choreographed ballet of just guns and stuff like in The Matrix, so do not go into this movie expecting either of those.
No. It's serviceable. It's fine. Like, I can't say anything negative about it, really, but it's just like, yeah, it's okay, I guess. All right, so we'll get into spoilers for John Carpenter's They Live, the 1988 sci-fi horror film. If you have not seen it, you should stop here and come back when you're ready. We'll get into spoilers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. There are specifics in the film that you want to talk about. We didn't really spoil anything that the film already shows you. These sunglasses and them being aliens, that's all part of like the marketing and what gets people drawn into the film. But there are specifics that you want to talk about specifically, and I kind of want to as well. So go ahead. What do you want to talk about in spoilers?
The plot and theme of the movie just get really just shown on its sleeve is the moment that Roddy Piper's character puts on magic sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And you just see this like black and white world just plastered with subliminal messaging. Obey, procreate, reproduce, consume, just all the subliminal messages and everything. And of course, just at that point, you're just like, okay, yeah, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
And it definitely kind of throws it right in there, and it is in no way subtle. It's a bit of a shame, because I would have loved a little bit more of a clever lead up, but I mean, it is what it is. But where it gets interesting is Roddy Piper's character basically wonders, okay, who the fuck's in charge of all this weird subliminal messaging? And then he decides to wear these magic sunglasses across town, and that's when he starts to notice the aliens. And this gets into just one of my favorite scenes that gets a bit humorous, and it's the grocery store. Just he goes and he sees like all the signs are just messed up subliminal messagings, like consume, procreate, buy, and all this other stuff. And then he sees one of the aliens just completely unmasked, and he's just kind of losing it. He's just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then just at one point, he just drops the niceties, and he just tells us like that this woman who's got like an outward appearance to the normal world as like an elderly woman, but with the sunglasses, she's like one of the aliens is like you look like your face fell into a pot of nacho cheese. And I'm sitting here cracking up, because just you see like the camera cut to like the normal person view, and this old woman is just aghast.
Yeah. And what this film does as well that I found interesting, well, not really interesting, but it plays on class warfare too. So all the aliens essentially are the rich, the wealthy, the well-to-do, the well-off type of people. They're always in suits. They're always buying expensive stuff. They're always in places of power, except towards the end where they start recruiting certain humans to be part of their side. I think my main issue with the entire film is that a lot of this felt incomplete. It felt like they had a good idea for something. My guess is this probably was a pilot to a TV show, or basically a trilogy of films. Because what this felt like was they were just starting to ramp up, and then the crescendo happens at the end of the movie, and then that's it. And I'm like, wait, that's it? Really? I think that's my biggest problem with this film, really. It's just that it just felt, to a certain extent, incomplete.
It felt like almost the ending was sort of changed, because it was just like, okay, well, we can't do a TV show, so we need to just close the story on this real fast. We've got this ending where just the main character reveals the alien plot, and he ends up dead, unfortunately, but you know, he ends up showing humanity who's really pulling the wool over their eyes. And it's a bit of a shame, because I think if it was either a bit of a trilogy or maybe even a short run TV show, I think it could really have elaborated on things a bit more.
Yeah, like I understand what it's very easy to understand what this film is trying to get across. but it just seemed like there was supposed to be a lot more there. Either a lot more with the characters, a lot more with the story, or a lot more with the messaging that was going on in this film. It just seemed incredibly surface level across the board. Just seemed like, okay, let me just get my main thing across. And it did that, and that was it. Some movies that works well, but you would have to have more with the movie in order for it to really fit. And with how okay the comedy is and okay the action is, there had to be more to it for me to actually really enjoy this film. And I just came out going, it's okay.
For me, it's just, I just wish that it was a little bit more clever in kind of its social criticisms. And I feel like if it had a little bit of runway to really kind of show a little bit more development and everything, I think this would have been better in a different form of visual media, either a TV show or maybe a movie trilogy of sorts. And it just feels like it's such a shame that that it's just kind of condensed into one movie, especially when it's based on a short story, apparently.
Yeah.
One of the more humorous scenes that I quite loved was towards the end, where just Roddy Piper's character blows up the signaling dish that the aliens have been using on top of like a TV station's tower, and basically completely rips the veil off of society, and society starts to see all these aliens just hiding in plain sight. And then during this sequence where just everyone's panicking, going, oh my god, they're among us. There's one moment where there's like some person on a TV station making criticisms about like extreme violence in movies and TV shows and directly mentioning George Romero and John Carpenter. I was like, ooh, that is kind of straight on the nose right there. And then kind of more of a darkly humorous scene is just, you see this like naked woman just kind of humping around, and there's a sign that says procreate right behind her, and the veil finally is revealed, and of course she notices that either her boyfriend or husband, who I don't know what his relationship was, but the guy's also an alien. He's like, hey baby, what's wrong?
Yeah, that ending, it was okay, but it didn't land very well.
It could have been better.
Yeah, I get the humor in the ending, but I guess that really melds into, I guess, my feelings of it overall, which is that seemed like something that could have required maybe 30 more minutes and then to see what happens after that. But that's all we got, so it just feels kind of incomplete to me. It is kind of humorous, but I just don't think it lands the way I think it wants to, for me at least.
Yeah, it could have landed better, but it was kind of one of those sort of like, I see that's why they've got all the procreate signs around.
Yeah. Final thoughts on They Live. This felt very shallow, even though I felt there should have been more depth to it and a lot more into the plot. I'm going to recommend it very slightly. Acting's okay, the writing is very shallow and is very upfront about what it's about, and the action's fine. I'm giving this 2.5 stars out of 5. It's fine. I think that my biggest thing is it's serviceable. And that is faint praise, but it's also just shows how disappointed I am in this film. 2.5 stars out of 5 from me for They Live.
I'm a little bit more on the pessimistic side. This one's probably going to sit at 40%. And it really comes down to my criticisms that I made earlier in this recording, which is just, I get that the film is a criticism on society and politics as a whole, but it just kind of beats the theme into the viewer's head with a baseball bat. There's no clever deployment of it, and I think if there was a little bit more of a clever deployment, I think this one would have landed a little bit better with me, because I don't mind social commentaries and satires, but they have to be clever. They have to be interesting with how they go about expounding on the thing in government or society that they're criticizing, and this one is just a little bit too overt on that. It's a John Carpenter film, so I mean, most of his stuff is fine and cult hits and stuff like that. It's not to say that this film is absolutely terrible, but I would say for anyone who's a bit of like a cult movie junkie, then yeah, you're probably going to end up watching this at some point, but don't make this your first choice. There's a lot of other cult films that you could probably watch and end up having a bit more of an entertaining time, as well as maybe something that you may end up finding something that's a little bit more clever about going about telling you its themes or critiques about society. and combined with just the okay acting and the writing being okay and just the gun and hand-to-hand combat scenes just being either disappointing or all right, that's kind of why I'm sitting at a 40%, mostly because just it's mostly a fine movie, but it's not something that you would probably make as your first choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I honestly, there are other films that he's done that I think I would have people watch first. I remember seeing Vampires a long time ago, and I thought that was fun. And then I've heard so many people think Big Trouble in Little China is actually really good, too. So if you haven't seen those films, I would give those a shot, too. And of course, you know, Halloween, The Thing, if you're into horror films, those are other movies that I think you would probably want to watch more of. I've heard so many people praise this film, and I came out of it after I was done going, that's it? That's all there is? Like, okay. 2.5 stars for me, 40% for Zero. It's fine, but man, it should have been a lot more, and I just didn't see it. And I think, Zero, you agree with me there, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Zero, so that is the end of this episode. For next week, we're going to have a theme. Let me tell you how I got across the theme, okay? I was going to do best film set in fall. And when I started looking up lists of best films set in fall, one director kept coming into mind. And do you know who that director is?
Who?
Wes Anderson. Half of his films are set in fall. I didn't realize this. And those films are on these best lists. Like Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums. I was like, whoa, okay, that's cool. So instead, I was like, you know what? Wes Anderson week. Let's go. So I am... So now we're going to do all Wes Anderson films next week. So I'm forcing Kim to do this too. So she's on. So Zero, what are we watching for next week?
Isle of Dogs.
Yes, the 2018. Yes, 2018 animated film directed by Wes Anderson. I saw Fantastic Mr. Fox a while ago. I really liked that, but it was very much a Wes Anderson film. Did you see either Fantastic Mr. Fox or this movie?
No, but I did buy the 2-pack on Google Play since it was like on sale for I think it was $10 for the bundle pack of both movies and stuff. And since both movies are also part of the Movies Anywhere program, it replicated to all of the other video stores that I have accounts on. So I was like, oh, cool, that'll work great with my Apple TV if it's got any like nice audio profile, so I can make use of my home theater stuff, or, you know, I can watch it on whatever Apple device that I have with me, or whatever. So after I bought it, it was just kind of one of those, I'll get to them at some point, and then I just have been procrastinating ever since.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, actually. I've had this for a while now. But like I bought the Blu-ray for like $5 because I was expecting this to be on Criterion at some point, because almost every one of Wes Anderson's films ends up on Criterion. And for some reason, the last few that he's done have not gotten there yet. So it's on Disney Plus now, so I am just going to check it out on Disney Plus when time comes. So yeah, tune in next week where me and Zero review Isle of Dogs, directed by Wes Anderson. I am The Wiz.
And I'm Zero.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.